Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a very optimistic, cheery, excited, happy episode of Take the Black Live, the show where we talk about all things sci-fi, fantasy, movies, TV, books. I am Dan. I am here with Dan. And good to see everybody watching. Good to see you, Ben. Good to see you, Zach. I'm glad you're finally catching a live. Of course, always glad to see Julie Davies. Hope you're all well. And welcome to everyone else in the chat. Feel free to leave comments. We love talking with you. So I gave the introduction. I wanted to make sure that you knew we were going to be happy, optimistic, and cheery today. Because the thesis of this show is fantasy is dead. High fantasy sci-fi boom on TV that has been kind of dominating television ever since Game of Thrones took off in the mid-2010s seems to be coming to a bit of a turning point. Evidence, the Wheel of Time got canceled, and the latest news is it's not going to come back. Something like Star Wars Andor was very, very popular and very, very praised, but ended up for two seasons because they spent $650 million on it, and they can't afford to do that over and over and over. Seasons are getting longer in between, and it just seems like people aren't putting the money into this space that they used to be. And Daniel, this could be a sign to despair, a sign to dig into the back of the medicine cabinet, see what you got going on back there. But there is a little bit of hope. And what is it?
Yeah, so we are going to try to stay at least mildly optimistic here because, like you said, it seems like things are changing. We'll put it that way, but maybe they're changing into something else rather than just coming to a full stop. So the big news that happened this week that we're going to kind of spin off from, because there are a lot of different facets to this, right? Like you mentioned the Wheel of Time. I do want to come back to something you said, which is that it is not coming back because there's some new news about that just dropped that we need to talk about. But on the positive side of things, and then we'll just kind of go broad from here. Yesterday it was announced that James Cameron, the director of the Terminator movies, the second Alien film, you know, those little Avatar movies, Titanic, basically
Sphere.
Yes, thank you. Basically the biggest director in Hollywood, arguably. He bought the rights to a book called The Devils by Joe Abercrombie, which is Joe Abercrombie's new book. If you don't know Joe Abercrombie, he's the author of The First Law, which is a...
Who is that?
It's one of essentially like the series which really popularized grim, dark fantasy. In other words, very brutal, dark, like black humor fantasy. The First Law books, they gained popularity right around the same time as A Song of Ice and Fire. Probably the most similar thing I've ever read tonally to what Martin does is Joe Abercrombie. The Devils is his book that came out last month in May, and it's been doing really, really well. It is a new career high for him. It topped, you know, the Sunday Times bestseller list in the UK. It was at number one. I think it debuted at number five on the New York Times bestseller list. Nice. So this thing has been making waves. It's the start of a new series. So it doesn't matter if you've read any of his First Law books. And it's essentially like the Suicide Squad, but with fantasy creatures. It's set in an alternate history Europe where a bunch of monsters in the employ of a child pope, the pope who is a child, have to help escort this street thief across Europe while covetous nobles and demented magicians and pirates and werewolves and everything else in between tries to kill them. It's a lot of fun. I have read it. I enjoyed The Devils quite a lot. And yeah, James Cameron apparently enjoyed it quite a lot too, because he and Joe Abercrombie are writing a script for this together. So hopefully they're making a movie out of The Devils, and it will be a huge deal because James Cameron, everything he does is a huge deal. So it's a given, I think we can say. So the question here is, you know, this is all happening at a time when streaming on television, streaming fantasy shows on television, seems to be hitting an inflection point where studios are starting to realize maybe they can't just dump infinite money into it. You know, something like The Wheel of Time, that season would have absolutely gotten a renewal if the exact same season aired like 3 years ago. So, sure. So it is like a testament to where we are in this landscape. And Dan, what do you think this matters? Like, do you think this could signal that we'll see more fantasy movies, or maybe more tightly contained fantasy movies? Because this isn't a big sprawling thing like The Wheel of Time. It's a fairly self-contained story, even though Abercrombie's writing sequels. So where are your thoughts on this?
My thoughts are, one, is there not like a young girl crazy pope in that story, The Devils?
Yes, there is. I mean, I don't know if I'd call the young girl pope crazy, but the monsters certainly don't think she's great. Some of them do, some of them don't. They're very, very opinionated, these monsters. One of them is a necromancer with a very, very high opinion of himself. One is a Viking werewolf with an overcharged sex drive. You know, there's an undying knight who has no sense of humor because he just wishes he could die and he can't. So
that sounds funny.
Yeah, it is. It is a hilarious book. You know, Joe Abercrombie always has a good humorous streak. But here, like, the misfitness of the group, just the comedy kind of writes itself because he's got such a colorful cast of characters. An elderly vampire who's really manipulative because he wants to get young again by drinking people's blood. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting to see this shift where a director like James Cameron, who's a longtime fan of Joe Abercrombie, apparently, his statement, he like name dropped a bunch of books to be like, hey, I like this, I'm a fan of this person. That's happening at the movies. On the television side, I'm wondering if we'll see a shift to like smaller series, you know, like Murderbot's doing well on Apple TV. A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms is coming next year. That's another smaller scale series. So where are we, Dan? And what do you think of all this?
I think that pretty much any trend in Hollywood is hit-based. This is a hit-based industry. Yeah. When Lord of the Rings movies came along in the early 2000s, it produced a big stream of new fantasy movies, Golden Compass, Narnia stuff. When Game of Thrones came along in the 2010s, it produced what we're kind of currently watching fade away, these big fantasy series. The Witcher, The Wheel of Time, House of the Dragon, and other stuff that's kind of in the, not fantasy, but in that same area. And I think the problem is that there hasn't been another giant hit in a minute. And the reason this is exciting is because James Cameron is a giant hit maker.
Yes. Like,
I watched Titanic, and people seemed to like that movie back in the day. Like you said, Terminator, Avatar, above all, Sphere. James Cameron tends to make movies that are giant cultural touchstones. He's working on something like The Devils, Joe Abercrombie, who is an author who is famous among fantasy fans, but who hasn't had his work really adapted in any meaningful way to the screen. We're looking for something that kind of brings in the next wave of interest. And having James Cameron's name on there certainly doesn't hurt. Although I know this little quote you wrote down from Joe Abercrombie.
Yes.
Even with Cameron on board, he is studiously skeptical about the ability to actually get a movie made in Hollywood. Saying that, as always with these things, I can't say much more at this point. Exciting news that hardly needs to be said. I'm going to be writing with James Cameron. Clearly, there are a few bigger beasts in the industry, but it remains an industry with no guarantees. My advice, as always, adaptations, is don't hold your...
Wow, you sound so much
more of like a received enunciation accent.
Yeah, way too fancy. I think he's more
like like Mary Poppins British. I don't know him very well.
Wow,
I know he's British though.
He is British. I wonder what he would say if he heard you call him Mary Poppins British. But
well, the other kind, what's like it, there's like the fancy kind, and then there's the fake Dick Van Dyke kind. There's only two. Anyway, if this movie does go through and does get made, and James Cameron might even direct it, then that could be another big infusion of new blood into this genre that sort of historically has depended on periodic infusions of new blood kicking things off, making things exciting again.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free Blackstone 8-piece accessory kit when you buy a Blackstone 28-inch griddle. Plus, get two free select Craftsman V20 tools when you buy an RP brushless drill and impact driver combo kit. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Yeah, I think there are a few sides to this. So yes, Joe Abercrombie, that quote was from his blog, which he just posted either yesterday or today, kind of in response to this James Cameron announcement saying, yeah, like I'm going to be writing this thing with James Cameron. Like whether the movie gets made or not, Joe Abercrombie and James Cameron are writing a script for it together. And that's exciting on its own. But Abercrombie has been trying to get film adaptations of his work made for like years at this point, and they just keep falling through for one reason or another. He told a story on his book tour for The Devils, which happened last month. He did kind of conversations with prominent authors all around like the US and the UK. He did one in Albuquerque with George R. R. Martin and kind of talked about how when he first
Albuquerque?
Abercrombie's blog says Albuquerque, so I'm trusting him to know what town he was in. So he talked about how when he first tried to pitch First Law, it was to Netflix. Mm-hmm. First Law being his very famous book series, and at the time Netflix was like a hole in the wall office in LA. And then when he went back, they were like, go work on scripts and bring them back. When he came back with the scripts, it was like a huge office space building. So mm-hmm. like the point he was making was like, oh yeah. And the person you pitched it to before, like they're gone now. So you have to pitch it all over again. So these things have changed so much that it's just never quite panned out for his series getting to the screen, which in my opinion has always felt like a massive missed opportunity from Hollywood, like because they're looking for these things that are like the next Game of Thrones or something that could capture a similar type of audience, I think we can say, to Game of Thrones. And not to say that Abercrombie's work could throw quite as wide a net, but I think tonally there's enough similar to it that it's kind of like if you're looking for George R. R. Martin style books, but a little bit more manageable mm-hmm. size-wise, like Joe Abercrombie's the author you want. Publishing kind of went through this in the early 2000s. Brandon Sanderson has talked about this. He was trying to break in, and editors were basically like, write George R. R. Martin, but shorter. And Sanderson was like, I can't do that. That's just not my style. And he has said, like, what they were looking for is Joe Abercrombie. And I think Hollywood has been in that same situation. So, of course, James Cameron, hit maker James Cameron, is getting on board with this. So, I hope that this pans out because it could be awesome. It could be a lot of fun. I think it would appeal to a lot of people because The Devils is, you know, it is a more accessible fantasy book. Like we're talking about elves and werewolves and, you know, magicians where their ego is the thing you need to understand more than necessarily the nuts and bolts of their magic. It's different than something like The Witcher or The Wheel of Time where, you know, here's this very complicated mythos that you need to internalize. So yeah, I am hopeful here that we'll see a new boom in fantasy movies if this pans out.
Yeah, I guess I have two things to point out. A, I'm stupid. Commenters, who is Todd and why doesn't he like us? Do you know the answer to that?
I don't see a Todd. I have a audio listeners. We have commenters saying someone named Todd doesn't seem to like us. I assume it's someone getting banned or whatever in the Facebook comments. I don't know. But Todd, if you're there, you're not really there to us. So I'm sorry.
We like you.
What was your other question, Dan?
My other point, I just want to reiterate that in case your need is underlined, getting a movie or TV show made is so hard. It's so hard. Everything, especially a new one, everything has to line up just right. The right people have to have the right feeling about the right project, the right time, and be in the right place and stay in the right place for the right amount of time in order to dot every I and check every and cross every T to make sure this can get from an idea all the way to a finished product. And it's monumentally tricky. And every movie or TV show that gets made is a miracle on par with Jesus walking on water. Like, that's what I think people should take away from this. It is very, very hard, which is why I think so many crap things come out, which is why so many things people want just don't seem to materialize, which is why there seems to be an obvious use case for the Wheel of Time being a show everyone wants to see, but it's not going to happen, or maybe probably won't happen. May not happen. And that's just worth remembering as we look at this stuff. Now, the good news is this time of next year, you'll be able to go to ChatGPT, type in make the first Slaw show, and then like 6 to 8 weeks later, it'll just be done. But until then, we have to go through this old method.
I'm just going to say I firmly don't support what you just said. I'm not even joking about it, because ChatGPT literally built on the stolen work of authors like Joe Abercrombie. So don't do that, viewers and listeners. Maybe just go read a book instead.
They're going to have to draw some kind of line around that sometime in the near future. We'll see what happens.
Well, that's a whole can of worms. You know, I know there were lobbyists in the UK saying their AI industry would fail overnight if they had to pay for copyrighted material. I know the US is trying to cram through a bill right now, the One Big Beautiful Bill, that has a AI provision that will not let AI laws be made for the next 10 years. So all these companies and their politician pets are doing underhanded things to try and keep AI able to steal whatever it wants. I have lots of, maybe we should do a whole show about this. But anyway,
we probably should, why not?
What you said about it being a miracle, any movie or show that gets made, totally on point. Joe Abercrombie seems very, very well aware of this. But I will say that having someone like James Cameron attached to it, that is a little bit more like, if the stars align, it will get made. Like, there's not really too much doubt that like James Cameron could get this movie made if he wanted to, like if it worked out. And he is essentially slotting this into his schedule after Avatar: Fire and Ash, which is the third Avatar movie, which comes out this December, which does make me wonder if Disney is not just like auto greenlighting Avatar 4, or maybe James Cameron has a break between Avatar 3 and 4 that he decided to take this on to.
Auto greenlight Avatar. There have been two Avatar movies. They are respectively the first and third highest grossing films of all time. I can't believe they wouldn't see whatever their vision is through to the end. It's been very good to them so far. And thank you, commenters, for telling me who Todd was. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Todd was someone who left, for audio listeners, someone who left an angry emoji on our Facebook podcast post. Must be hard to be you, Todd, because here we are streaming anyway. It's interesting times in the fantasy sci-fi, you know, space for movies, for television. Mm. We could see a shift back to more big budget fantasy movies, which would not be bad, in my opinion. I do hope that if shows like The Wheel of Time are getting the axe, if stuff like that is happening, that the lesson maybe studios take away from this is stop making prohibitively expensive shows that you're going to make viewers wait so long between seasons that they lose interest. Like, maybe get back to making like reasonable TV at some point. Because I don't think there are too many examples. I don't know if there are any examples of a 2-year gap between seasons really working.
Like, the I end can't of think Game of Thrones. One. Like, that's it. People were still really excited for it.
But that was a 1.5 year gap between the seventh and eighth and final. I think making people wait for the end is fine. I think making people wait that long every season is a fool's errand.
Oh, I agree. I completely agree. But it did technically work. Was it only a year and a half?
Yes, I believe so.
Was it shorter? Oh my God. What are people doing?
Yes.
Why does it take so long to launch a new show?
Yeah. So Wes, the famous first example of the 2 year gap was Westworld. That's the show that originated this model on HBO. And Westworld has a famously downward trajectory, even though like I enjoyed a lot of Westworld, and less people watched it every season. It is well recorded, and that's why HBO canceled it.
And again, it's a miracle whenever something gets made. That's kind of the explanation for why things don't change. But it's so weird. If you know that longer periods between seasons are bad for your audience, and you know nobody likes them, and you've known that for a while, why don't you take steps to correct it? Because it's very difficult to do that. That's the reason.
Yeah.
In short. But
Specifics,
who knows?
Well, so here's the thing. It means they have to commit early. So what DataRacer117 said in the comments, 2 years between seasons has become the norm, and it's really not a good thing. Why was House of the Dragon season 3 not already filming in 2024? Like, what is HBO doing? Now, there are some examples of streamers who are getting this message. So Apple TV Plus, Silo, they already they're filming seasons 3 and 4 of Silo back to back. They've already wrapped season 3. They're moving on to season 4. Season 2 only finished airing in January. So like they are very clearly trying to tone down the long wait between seasons by just like giving them the go ahead to keep going earlier. So they're not waiting to see will this be a massive hit before they decide to make it, which, you know, not every show can do that, but I think maybe a little bit more of that. You know, Last of Us is my other favorite example of this. Like,
HBO is weird, especially because they have giant hits and they're still not doing things ahead of time.
Yeah. Yeah. The Last of Us. So season 2 of that just wrapped airing last month. They're tentatively not like due to start filming until early next year is word on the street. We don't have official confirmation. That's what the word on the street is. And, you know, that was a short season that ended with a huge cliffhanger. So that's a huge ask of audiences to have enthusiasm to in what, 2027 when it comes back?
I just want
to
be like in the rooms where these people convince themselves what they're doing is a good idea, because you know it happens. I'd be very curious to hear it. I agree with Ash. It was understandable during COVID. You got a little pass when things are very, very hard. Maybe even the strikes. But yeah, I agree. Get it together. Okay. Yeah. Should we move on? Something else?
We should probably move on. Who knew we had this much to say about all of this? Yeah, DataRacer, The Last of Us season 3 should be following right on the heels of season 2. That's what Squid Game did, and that's why it's okay that they did a short 7-episode season that ended on a huge cliffhanger, because Netflix, I can't believe I'm giving Netflix credit for something like this, but Netflix filmed both seasons at once. They're releasing them 6 months apart. No fans are mad about that. I haven't seen a single person online complain about the wait between Squid Game season 2 and 3. Anyway, we should probably move on. Should we not?
Speaking of one of those shows taking forever to get made, some fun little new images from the set of House of the Dragon season 3. Oh, good. How's your Welsh?
I'm not doing accents. My Welsh sounds shockingly, suspiciously similar to my upstate New York.
Cool. I was going to say, can you pronounce Dinorwig Quarry? I think that sounds fine. There's a place called Dinorwig Quarry in Wales, and they're filming some things there. A ruined village. We have a nice little picture courtesy of North Wales Live of some overturned, soot-stained, burnt to a crisp wagons. Apparently it's the camp where Daemon Targaryen set up at Harrenhal in season 2. You know, in the books that Aemon gets there, maybe he gets mad and burns some stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, that seems like a fair guess. I think that's as good a guess as any, unless they're dressing it and it's, you know, somewhere else, but it's the same location. But I think, you know, we know, like, mild spoilers here. We know that Daemon was about to march. We know Aemon was about to go there. And yeah, spoiler, Daemon will not be there when Aemon gets there. If it follows the book, which is always a question. So yeah, I could, I think your guess of him just like getting mad and burning the few tents that are left is a pretty fair one. But yeah, that's, it's nice to see House of the Dragon rolling along. I am a little nervous about it because a Knight of the Seven Kingdoms is coming next year, but we were going to stay positive here, right? That was what we said at the start of this show, was this was going to be a very positive hour. So I think that means we'll be getting two Westeros shows next year. Back to back bangers.
I mean, I was being sarcastic when I said that, but we can go positive. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. But yeah, so House of the Dragon filming. It's the report from this was pretty fun, which Dan wrote about this on the site, winteriscoming.net, that kind of like there was just like an enterprising Welsh person who lives near the quarry who like made it a point to get in there early before they barred the gates and stuff so he could see, he could take a poke around and see what the Targaryens were getting up to. So pretty funny to like read his first person account of going down to check out the set.
Yeah. And he said, and I'll quote, the sets looked really impressive. And in a Welsh accent, that would sound like,
the sets looked really impressive.
That's great. Kudos to you. Wonderful job, Daniel.
Thank you. All right.
A little stopover in Westeros for you. Let's move on. You were speaking disparaging words about Netflix a minute ago.
What?
They had a pretty big event, and they do have a lot of things coming up that are probably worth talking about. You have thoughts. They had this To Doom event.
Yeah. Did you watch it?
Get it? No, I didn't watch it. But I got the news afterwards. Maybe that's why you're so mad about it. I mean, just getting the news afterwards, like, oh, release date's fun.
The event was awful.
How is it awful?
It was like the cringy. So I have seen To Dooms before because Netflix has been doing this for a while. Usually they're like some actors on a stage and they announce stuff.
Yeah.
This time it was like, One of our colleagues described it as like, it was like the VMA, like VMA style event, but way cringier, where like the host rappelled in at the start. They had the Squid Game guards do a dance number. Like they had one Backstreet Boy, and it's not one you would know the name of, announced this new show that's basically Music Is Blind, where people are picking bandmates but they don't get to see them, which is essentially like the start of The Voice, but who's counting. So yeah, to do, there were some interesting announcements, but they definitely strung it out. There was only 8 announcements over the course of like 2 hours. In the past they would do like 15 or something. Like they'd give a bunch of unexpected surprising stuff, and this was not that, Dan. This was a weird one. Anyway, I don't need to rant about my opinions about To Doom. I need to tell you about the announcements that were there. So obviously, the biggest one, the one that everyone actually cared the most about, for good reason, is that Stranger Things 5 got a release date. Dates, plural. So it is coming out in 3 drops. November 26th is the first 4 episodes. That's the day before Thanksgiving in the U.S. December 25th, that's Christmas, the next 3 episodes are coming out. And then on New Year's Eve, December 31st, they're releasing just, quote, the finale, which is got to be like 3 or 4 hours. Like, who are we kidding?
Oh, my God.
and they're dropping these at 5 p.m. Pacific time, which is 8 p.m. Eastern time, which is essentially primetime television here in the U.S., which Netflix never does. So they are essentially staking out those 3 holidays and banking on getting a lot of people watching. Are you excited for Stranger Things 5, Dan? Like, how do you feel about this? We haven't talked about it since.
We really haven't. I'll watch it. You know, I've been watching the show since it premiered. Good Lord. Like, is it 9 years ago? Was it 9 years ago Stranger Things first aired?
There was kind of a funny thing where they were like, Stranger Things, one of Netflix's longest running shows. And it's like 10 years. It's 5 seasons. But yeah, 10 years ago, by the time this is all said and done.
And so few episodes, yeah. I'll watch. I've been watching it. I'll see the end. I can't say I'm like over the moon excited out of my skin about it, but yeah, I'll watch it. And yeah. I don't personally mind them choosing the holidays. It's like Julie said, like they know people have be off work. Now, usually it's a risk though, because having things air on holidays, folk are off work, but they're doing things. They're at family barbecues, yes. They're at gatherings, they're opening presents, yada, yada, yada. But Netflix knows that people are going to watch this. It knows it owns us. So it can risk running Stranger Things. It can risk experimenting because it knows people tune in. It can try putting it out on prime time. So everyone can gather around the Christmas tree and watch Stranger Things episodes on Christmas Day or whatever that is.
Yeah.
It knows they'll do it. And I don't think it's a horrible idea. I want the screeners ahead of time. I would love that Netflix. Thank you. But yeah. Sure. I think it's a fine strategy. I wished Netflix had been doing primetime releases like once a week for many years. Frankly hope it's inching toward that for normal shows.
Yeah. I mean, that's this whole streaming experiment, right? It is gradually becoming cable just on the internet.
Yeah, ads. I will say I was pretty thrilled when I saw a Netflix ad. I was like, but I pay you already. But whatever. Thing.
Yeah, the ads are a whole nother conversation. Disney's ads are the ones that really get me.
Netflix?
Yeah.
I'm like, you already have my subscription money. Why are you giving me an ad for Netflix?
Subscribed. Subscribe again. Yeah, I think the holiday release strategy for Stranger Things is great. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think they're not renewing it for more seasons. They know it's their like their biggest one of their biggest shows of all time. They can do a thing like this and like people will watch. Mm-hmm. They're kind of banking on like people will make their New Year's Eve or their New Year's Day a Stranger Things day, but like they probably will, right? It's the end of the show.
Enough
people will. So that's all very exciting. That was the biggest thing. Wednesday season 2 got release dates. I believe it's August 6th and September 3rd. It's coming out in two batches. Oh. Jenna Ortega, Lady Gaga is going to be in it. She was there. She did a music number, which was probably one of the best parts of the night. One Piece season 2, they announced who's playing Tony Chopper, which is a little reindeer doctor person from the anime. It's going to be voiced and motion captured by Michaela Hoover, who played the very sad little rabbit in Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Who recall the sad little rabbit from Guardians of the Galaxy
3. That is not coming until 2026. So they did announce One Piece is next year. Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein got a trailer. That looks rad, I've got to say. Yeah. I'm a little sad.
Yeah, it does good work.
Guillermo del Toro doesn't really miss. I'm a little sad that it's not like going to get a theatrical release. It's just going to be on Netflix. Because it looks like a movie you'd watch in a theater. But that's coming in the fall. One which was conspicuously absent from To Doom was The Sandman. That wasn't mentioned at all. But we're going to mention it here because it is coming out in July. July 3rd, 24th. And then it says here there's a bonus episode on the 31st.
Yeah.
Neil Gaiman, he's in the midst of some sexual assault scandals, and Netflix is just sweeping this one under the rug. So they didn't even mention The Sandman.
That's another example of kind of the dying of big budget fantasy. Was it'll be the final season. I'll watch it. I found myself kind of excited for that one when I was seeing the episode titles. Like, oh, that. I'll watch that.
That's cool.
Shame about the sexual assault allegations against Neil Gaiman. But I don't think that would have saved it. I think it was a victim of the kind of general belt tightening happening everywhere.
I do agree. I think, again, the word on the street is that this was already the plan for Sandman before the Neil Gaiman stuff broke. They were already planning to cut it short, which is a little sad for fans who waited like, you know, years for this to get adapted. But also seeing the state of the Neil Gaiman stuff, like it's just undeniably for the best. I think we can probably all agree. The other thing that this whole Netflix To Doom event made me wonder is when the hell are they going to air The Witcher season 4? Because that's supposed to come out this year. The Witcher season 4, they announced at the beginning of the year that was coming in 2025. But if you look at their release schedule, which I did write about this on the site, if you want to go see it, like actually broken down, they have essentially Squid Game coming out in June. They have The Sandman in July. They have Wednesday in August and September. And then they have Stranger Things in November and December. So that's a lot of like their big shows. And it's kind of like, unless they're just going to throw The Witcher out without any promotion, which like Netflix could do, but I doubt they're going to do, because they need to convince people to come back for this one after Henry Cavill left. I think they're going to need to build the hype a little bit, and they know that.
Sure.
It's really either coming in late September and October, or it's coming in 2026. Which do you think is more likely, Dan?
I don't know.
Fair.
I don't know. Whenever it comes out, I might check it out.
Yeah. The only thing that makes me think maybe it's not delayed, maybe they're not pushing it back to 2026, is that there's a new Witcher book coming out in the US in September. September 30th is Crossroads of Ravens, which is the prequel novel that came out in Poland late last year. It's getting a translation to the US. So I assume that was trying to coordinate with Netflix, but who knows? So yeah, that's what's going on in Netflix land. We're all liked it. We're all subscribed. We all have no choice. They own us. They know we'll come. They know we'll spend our Christmas with them. They'll give us ads even if we are already subscribed.
It is kind of true, because again, like, I'm old, so I remember watching just network TV and getting up to go to the bathroom and make a sandwich during the ads, and it's kind of coming back. It's a little nostalgic.
I don't mind it. Unless it's something like, so you don't have ads on Disney Plus, right? I'm going to vent about Disney Plus for a second here.
Just okay. Quick second.
The quick second.
I don't think so. I don't watch that on Disney Plus. I don't think I have ads.
Okay. So I have ads on Disney Plus, and Disney Plus is the only streaming platform, and Hulu a little bit, because they're the same. They're owned by the same people, that give me like medication ads about random stuff. It's like weight loss ads, and it's depression medication ads. Huh. Like all these really distasteful ads where I'm like, man, this could mess with a person's psyche. Someone not as secure as me might be affected by this, but I am still really angry that I'm getting these ads. Like,
you
give
think
me breakfast
they're like targeted at you, or do you just think they're just being pain?
I think they're targeted 100%. But even if they're not, it's bad. Like the targeting is not good. Like, I'm not getting Botox for headaches, which is another ad I've gotten on Disney Plus, the children's platform.
Oh, you're right. Kids watch that. So they're watching Cocomelon. Oh, that's a Netflix thing. Bluey. What's on Netflix? I'll say Bluey. And they're getting ads for Botox nurse to cure headaches. That would be crazy.
That's why I unsubscribed after Skeleton Crew, because I was trying to watch a kid's show and I was getting these ads and I was like, this is dystopian. This is so like distasteful and gross.
You know, they say that Netflix is going to do AI generated ads starting next year, I think. I don't know quite what that means yet. I guess we'll see. But I'm very targeted, built on the show you're watching. So Tony Chopper will recommend Lorazepam or something. I'm not sure. We'll see.
Yeah. And wasn't there, I think there was a Black Mirror that had this, where like they had different ads for different demographics. So like it showed an ad for a more highbrow liquor to like a wealthy family, and like racially profiled another non-white family and showed them like peach schnapps or something. Like, I'm pretty sure this was in a Black Mirror episode, and that type of targeting based on those demographics happens. I could totally see it happening here, and I hate it. Anyway, that's my rant. We're really getting into the social issues of streaming today.
Do you want to see us talk about things like AI and social issues? I enjoy them. Maybe we'll do a whole show about it.
Yeah. The postpartum depression.
Yeah, I can see that.
We've been getting those. Yeah, those are totally other ones. And it's like, man, this is pretty messed up. Anyway.
What are you watching? What are any of you out there watching, reading, enjoying right now?
God, well, not the ads on Disney Plus. No, just kidding. There are, ironically, the thing I'll reference here is something that is coming to Hulu this Friday. We are back. Everyone, hello. I hope you can hear us. We're talking about what we're watching.
Ad rants.
You mostly just missed venting. You missed all the cursing. Is Richard throwing an ad at us, says Julie. Yeah, maybe. Surprise. Welcome. Like and subscribe to our show, Take the Black Live, every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central Time. But yeah, what we're watching and reading. So the thing I need to shout out that I can't give a proper review for, but I am very excited about, is Predator, Killer of Killers, which is the new animated Predator movie. That comes out on Hulu this Friday, June 6th. I have seen it. All I can say is that it's awesome. Way better than I expected. And it's Dan Trachtenberg. So it's the same person who did Prey, did this animated movie. It's an anthology film. So it's got Vikings, it's got samurai and ninjas, and it's got a World War II fighter pilot, all of them facing the Predator in different time periods. That's about all I can say. Aside from, if you like Predator, if you liked Prey, you are going to want to make time for this movie. And my review will be up on late Thursday night or Friday. Aside from that, I'm still watching Murderbot. Still very funny. Cool. I finished season one of Dark Winds, which was really good.
I hear it's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, it was excellent. I am definitely going to be watching the next season and onward. That show is a really good crime procedural on a Native American reservation in New Mexico. Excellent. Cool. And really, really gorgeous, like, cinematography and settings, because, you know, they filmed it in New Mexico because George R. R. Martin's attached, and New Mexico has a burgeoning film industry down there. The last thing I'll mention is I watched Mountainhead. Have you heard anything about this movie, Dan?
Yeah, that's the guy from the Succession gentleman has a new movie about the ultra rich in tech.
Yeah, totally. And it was, you know, painful at times because Jesse Armstrong. So he wrote this movie. He pitched it all in about the past 6 months. He pitched it in December.
Really?
Wrote it on the fly. Yeah, yeah. It's had a crazy condensed production schedule, and almost the entire movie takes place in this one mansion in Utah that is just like the most ostentatious, gaudy building you've ever seen. And yeah, he really went hard on the tech bro lingo. Basically, the idea is these four billionaires get together for their poker nights, and one of them happens to have just released a new AI tool that is causing civil unrest around the world because he did not put good guardrails on it. And another one of them has a different AI that could fix those guardrails. And what happens then when they are just trying to have a fun poker night? And yeah, it is disturbing. It is funny. It's, you know, I don't know that it's quite on the same level as something like Succession, but I enjoyed watching it, and it wasn't quite as painful as I expected. Steve Carell's great in it. He plays the kind of the elder one among the bunch. And he is probably his most dramatic role I've ever seen him in. He's very scary. So yeah, that's what I've been watching. What about you, Dan? And what about all of you out there in the chat?
Julie's enjoying Mobland, Dead City, The Bitter Sister, and streaming The Last Kingdom over again. Can't go wrong.
Nice.
I'm just watching some old stuff. I'm trying to get my hands on a bunch of like new TV. So I'm trying to get my hands on Squid Game early. I'm trying to get my hands on Stranger Things, Foundation, Star Trek Strange New World. So I've been doing a lot of that. And I've been so busy, I haven't been able to watch many things except for old episodes of Community. And the movie Friendship with Tim Robinson, which is hysterical and uncomfortable.
Nice. I need to watch that.
Yeah, I recommend it. So I haven't been doing much. I'm sorry that we couldn't help Tyler find entertainment while he does his business, according to the comment. But give it some more time. What's the worst going to happen? Robert watching Blood of watching The Blood of Zeus. And not a whole lot, but I'm sure I'll have new stuff soon. There's quite a lot coming up. Squid yes. Game airs end of this month. I want The Sandman too. That's early next month. So I'm all over a lot of stuff. And Victor is watching Andor, which I think is probably worth. I bet that show reveals other things on second watches. It seems like probably. That kind of series.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it for me. Should we move on to the WIC News lightning round, where we blast through a bunch of stories we didn't have time to get to in the main body of the show and give our 20-second opinions on them? No more and no less?
I think we should, but can I ask you one question from the comments before we do? So Victor DiGiovanni said, this was about the Predator animated movie, that I think genre stuff could be animated like this and audiences would be happy. I just don't know how much this type of animation costs in relation to live action VFX. Presumably less, I think we can fairly safely say. I've seen a lot of people say this about like the Wheel of Time. Like they wish there could have been an animated Wheel of Time show instead of the live action one we got. Brandon Sanderson's work often gets kind of put in this category. A lot of people say, I hope it's animated if they do it. What is your thought about this, Dan? Like, do you think animated high quality fantasy and sci-fi things would have this, like, be able to reach audiences in the same way?
They'd reach audiences, probably not as much in the US, where animation seems to be a little bit ghettoized as for kids. Also, you get what you pay for when it comes to animation or live action. Like, there are animated shows that look beautiful, and those cost a ton of money. Arcane cost like $1 million.
It did.
And there are shows that are animated that don't really look as nice, which it doesn't mean they're bad, but if you put less money into them, you get less great looking stuff at the end of it. It's really no different. It's all the choices you have to make for the story you want to tell. I could imagine having more animated fantasy sci-fi stuff in the future because people aren't willing to spend the money to make a live action thing. And honestly, it's probably worth talking about whether AI will be brought in to like a big fantasy sci-fi show, because a bunch of the cost of those kind of shows is the special effects, is kind of building up these giant sets. Will AI get to a point whether this is morally sanctionable and advisable or not, when it's being used to offset some of those costs? I'm sure people will give it a whirl. We're not quite there yet, but we'll probably live to see that in the near future.
I think it'll
try.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because I think the state we're in right now is that those tools can work for that, but they are not as good as when real people do them. And often what ends up happening is real people have to clean up the work they did. And I don't know that it really saves anyone time or ultimately makes things cheaper. We don't have enough use cases of that right now. But we've got interesting opinions on this in the chat. So Julie says, personally, I hate animated stuff. Yeah, Victor says, I could watch this type of animation all day. Ash says, although I agree, animation could give more freedom, but hey, I like human faces and human reactions. This is kind of the thing, right? Like, some people just really like animation. Some don't. I do hope we see more, because like, one thing for Killer of Killers, like, it's just a really good movie. Like, if it was live action, it would be great. If it's animated, it's great. I think having a really good story, like, that's the thing that helps these animated films. And also, like, thinking of like Miyazaki, or like, there's this movie called Secret of Kells, which like does really interesting things with the animation, like between 2D and 3D. Mm-hmm. I think leaning into these art forms can make something really notable. But, you know, are animated shows ever going to get run on primetime television in the US to fill those slots that would normally go to these big live action shows? Probably not. So it'll be interesting to see. But I will watch more. So maybe they should make it, because I would watch.
It's all a rich tapestry. Let's go on to the witness lightning round, though, and let that simmer and marinate. All right, Daniel, as per usual, I have not ordered these.
Great.
Why don't you go ahead and just ask me first?
That sounds good, because I know nothing about Doctor Who, but apparently this is a major spoiler, right? Is this a major spoiler?
It is, round? I mean, it happened like almost a week ago, I think.
All right. So major Doctor Who spoiler, Nakuti Gatwa, who is the 14th Doctor. 15th Doctor. Regenerated into Billy Piper on Doctor Who.
Okay, so this is pretty crazy. So Nakuti Gatwa was this new Doctor Who actor, and every couple of seasons he regenerates into something new, and he was only there for two seasons, shorter than most doctors. This is pretty quick. And he regenerated into Billy Piper, who was an actress who was on the show Doctor Who when it first got revived, the companion to David Tennant's Doctor. So they're bringing back an actress who was in the show years ago who didn't play a doctor and now she's a doctor. I don't know what it means. That show is another kind of fading entity in the sci-fi fantasy realm. Okay, yeah. Daniel, this is a true story. In like the early 2010s, the CIA was using a variety of websites to communicate clandestinely with agents in the field abroad, including a fake Star Wars website. I don't know exactly how they communicated with them, but they did.
Yeah, so I think that is a fun little factoid. This has kind of come out and been confirmed now that there was this Star Wars site that the CIA was apparently using as a front to get secret information. And you could visit it in like the 1990s, and it was a real website. I think that's cute, you know, but maybe beware. Who knows what other sites or CIA fronts? Is winter is coming a CIA front? We'll never tell. So moving on from law enforcement. Severance, the producers behind Severance, the Apple TV show about splitting your brain at work and at home, they have ideas for two spinoffs.
Yeah, I don't know what they would be. I guess like, and maybe like a you're in the past and you see how Keir, the little cult leader on that show, first founded the company Lumina, maybe, or maybe there's other offices elsewhere in the world. Two spinoffs. Again, I wish they would just let a show happen before they really jump on spinoffs like this, but I know you have to. I know it's part of the deal right now in TV that you develop other ideas. Daniel, Euphoria actress, I've not seen the show, but Euphoria actress Hunter Schafer is reportedly being considered to play Princess Zelda in the Legend of Zelda movie.
I think that's a pretty good casting. I think Hunter Schafer, you know, looks the part. I think
she does.
I could totally see that. I don't know how much legitimacy there are to these rumors, but I could get behind that. I would totally go see that. And that's the movie from, I forget his name. He made Kingdom of the Planet
West
of the
Ball.
Apes. Wes Ball. Yeah. I'm excited to see what he does with that.
I'm curious.
That's right. That's right. Producer Richard says, I just blew our cover. That's right. So when we're filming this from just black nondescript rooms next week, you know why. So Dan, Gen V season 2, the spinoff of The Boys, it's coming on September 17th.
Yeah, I want to say about that one. Yeah, it's fun. I heard it was really good. I haven't seen it. September 15th, you watch it. I just want to say, I like your idea that we're going to film from nondescript black rooms, that we'd be captured, but they'd still let us do Take the Black live from our prisons.
I meant like we're in safe houses. All right. Gotcha. Remember, this is a positive hour.
Gotcha. Hey, safe houses. It's all part of the cover.
All right.
All right. Daniel, Mark Hamill, known for playing Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars series of films, sounds down with the franchise, saying, I've had my time. No more Luke, or at least no more Luke played by him.
Look, I love Mark Hamill. He's an old dude. He has had his time.
Sure.
Let him do other stuff. Like I'm a diehard Star Wars person. I grew up on those movies. I don't really want to see Mark Hamill back as Luke. Like he will always be Luke Skywalker, but yeah, he said this in an interview recently. He's like, let him focus on the future. And yeah, dude, listen to him. Disney, sure. Listen to the man. Wow. Victor says we're already in nondescript rooms. I'm going to take that as a challenge. By the end of this year, it's going to look like I am at a festival every time in here.
Hey,
except
I
be
enjoy
a different
my
room.
Curtains.
You go out. Yeah, your nondescript curtains. Mm-hmm. All right. Dan, here's a fun one. So they're making an Elden Ring movie, Alex Garland. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he's considering Kit Connor from Heartstopper to play the lead role.
Yeah, I never watched Heartstopper. I know what it kind of looks like, you know, just kind of broad-shouldered British guy. I'm sure he could do a good job. My more question is, what is the main role? Like, is the main role a tarnished soldier, like a random person, like in the game? Or are they going to tell a story about the backstory for Elden Ring? I played the game. I know the mythos. Who is he playing? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, which is the right question to ask, I think.
I agree. And finally, Daniel, somehow the two and only seasons of Star Wars Andor cost $650 million to make. That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. I think Andor has proven that it was perhaps worth the hefty investment because it is by far one of the best Star Wars things to have been made since Disney bought the rights. Probably the best Star Wars thing since Disney bought the rights. But yeah, that is what you said earlier about that being a holdover from a previous era of streaming. Totally true. I don't see studios spending that kind of money on shows again, unless they're Amazon and they're contractually obligated to do it for their Lord of the Rings series.
Weird.
So, yeah, all that's right. Been our show.
As we wind down here, I'm going to hit some quick stuff really quick. So you guys have some great comments. A, like and subscribe to our channel. We do this every Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. CST, 3 on the East Coast. Why can I not? Noon on the West Coast and one of the mountains. live, Winter's Coming, Facebook, YouTube. Join us. It's a lot of fun. Check out winterscoming.net.com. We write a lot of stuff over there. Like, subscribe, tell all your friends and family. I agree with Victor that whoever figures out a way to get seasons out yearly will win, animated or live action. Just give me a freaking show.
Agree.
Julie and Martha miss Scruffy. He's still there. Hey, Scruffy. Say hello.
Scruffy is Dan's cat, Dan's dog for audio listeners. He's behind the curtain in the room Dan's in. And he's very cute.
Just thanks for watching. Had a good time. And to our CAA handlers, the crow flies at midnight. Goodbye, everybody.
Take care, all.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Offer valid on standard browsers, U.S. only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of, 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive. Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. datemyage.com.